Today is Wednesday, June the 18th, 169th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, stranger, Ryan Sundberg. Nice to have you back in the saddle.
It's great to be back. I appreciated the warm welcome back. I know you missed me.
Oh, you mean the band out there?
Yeah. Yeah, the fireworks and everything. It was great.
Oh, well, good. Glad you dressed for the occasion, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not often we see you in a tux.
Yeah.
Except out here, of course.
Even brush my hair and my teeth.
Yeah. See red letter red letter day all the way across.
See what I do for you?
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about new fire station going on in McKinleyville. So we'll talk a little bit about what that is designed to accomplish. Also, we'll recap the election. It's been... Really? It's only been 2 weeks.
I know. Doesn't it?
Wow. Just seems like it's been so long ago that, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look in the rearview mirror and we'll look through the front windshield when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Rita Mae Brown, 1988. Quote, "The difference between genius and stupidity is that even genius has its limits." Isn't that a great quote?
No names.
That's a good one. Oh, boy. So you want to do the fire station first, or you want to do the election first?
Let's do the fire station first.
All righty. And certainly McKinleyville has had changes over the last 15, 20 years, whether it's build-outs, concentrations, density, new road work, all that kind of stuff.
75% of the growth in the county in the last 10 years.
You're up on all these stats right now.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of fades over a couple of years. And then it, yeah.
So it's what happens when you come right out of an election. Yeah, you have to memorize all this stuff.
Yeah. So is that growth in households, in building permits coming out, or
houses,
individual bodies?
Houses and building in general. So,
obviously there's affordable land there then too.
It's relative.
Well, if it wasn't affordable, nobody'd be buying it, right?
But actually, it's interesting. I talked to Jim Furtado not too long ago, and he's doing most of the building. There's a few other people, but the primary one is the right behind Miller Farms is Central Estates, and they're building all
the
that
fields.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also another spot that's right off of Washington Street that's close to School Road. But he was telling me that those, as soon as they can build those, people are buying them. So he hasn't have any that are sitting on the market or anything, and so
isn't that interesting? I wonder where they're coming from.
Good question.
Because if the population isn't growing, obviously he's taking from somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully people that are renting or moving up in the world.
And yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Do you sense that economic viability going on all around us?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's a work in progress. But it's nice to hear, though, that someone can, they're building houses and people are buying them, because obviously that someone has the resources and
so
it's not sitting there.
You got more roads, you got more buildings, you got more infrastructure. I would think that the demand for public services is a little bit more, too. More road paving having to go on. Sidewalks, maintenance, all those types of things. When you see McKinleyville today, and knowing how the county allocates its budget in various departments, do you look and see, is McKinleyville getting fair shakes? Is it what it ought to be? It's not what everybody would like it to be, because I don't think there's any jurisdiction that has that.
Yeah.
Do you kind of monitor that stuff and just see how much is being applied?
Yeah, and I've had lots of people ask, even in some of the outlying areas, you know, they'll say, well, we pay taxes, you know, we're not getting what we pay for. And one of the first things I tell people is, you know, when you pay your property taxes and you write that check to County of Humboldt for $1,000, the county or the state off the top takes 75% off the top and sends it to the school. So the county sends that check right to the state. And then we get, I think it's 18% of it back. So it's not a whole bunch, you know, it's the sales tax and the property tax is the primary ones. But it's not as much as you think. You
know? And then the 18%, I don't think, sticks in a district, doesn't it? Just go into the general pot, and then you guys allocate it out to wherever it may be needed.
And then most of our general fund money, that sales tax and property tax, most of that money goes to public safety, and then public works almost eats up the whole thing. You know, people see all the health and human services, you know, is, you know, half of our budget, $150 million. But $5 million of it is what's out of the general fund, and that's for mandatory, required federal mandates that we have. Of
is that the in-home health service?
No,
that, crew, or is that from that group, or is that from a different pot?
That is, no, there's general
that
fund
was general
money.
That fund pay, also, yeah.
But there's mandates in there for the homeless people, not homeless people, but you know, insurance for travelers that are going through. There's the general relief money that we have to pay out. And those are mandates that we don't have any choice. And it ends up being about $5 million is what we end up paying for health and human services out of the general fund. So it's not a whole bunch that out of that whole budget, you know, $150 million budget, and the general fund only does $5 million of it. So it's all grant funded.
Somebody had told me, I don't know where I stumbled on it, that with the Obamacare that went in at the beginning of the year, that there was anticipated to be this huge amount of, I believe, travelers is now the euphemistic word that is being used, at least in this show, for folks that are in our area. There was going to be this huge amount of people signing up, all those medical benefits that these folks who have been without for a long, long, long time. Somebody told me that there's less than a dozen.
Yeah, the
in Humboldt County?
Yeah, it used to be through CMSP. It was the name of the insurance pool for that. Yeah, and I heard it's less than that, actually. I heard it was somewhere around 7 or 8.
So how much are we spending in staffing for these? Okay, whether it's a dozen or a half a dozen folks.
Well, there's not dedicated staffing to that.
But there is outreach, there is resources, there is certainly a lot of buildup leading into it, because I saw a presentation that was saying hundreds were going to be part of, and this was going to be the panacea.
Well, see, what's left on there, the people who didn't sign up for the Affordable Care Act are the people who don't sign up for that, we're still responsible for them. It's a mandate. The county doesn't have a choice. And so from what I know of it,
you will be healthy.
Yeah. The people who didn't sign up for that, the county's still responsible for them. Those are the people that are still left in that pool. And I heard it's not very many people that are left in that pool. So
is the pool going to get drained?
Well, I think that's the goal, you know, that they'll be shifted over there. And I think for the employee part of it, you know, the County of Humboldt does the administration for 3 or 4 counties, and you know, we have a new call center that takes care of all that, and I think they handle both, but I'm not completely positive.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, with the build up or the concentration or the density or whatever the word is in McKinville that is going on, is the infrastructure, is it there? Is it ready to accommodate all these additional folks? If property taxes aren't really generating a hill of beans for the county, now you're getting all this additional demand for services and roads and. Does it pencil out?
McKinleyville does. I mean, McKinleyville generates more taxes than what we get, for sure. You know, it's like how L.A. generates taxes and shifts it to the more rural counties, even including us. And it's kind of the same way, you know. So Willow Creek or Hoopa or Orleans is going, you know, Oreck is going to benefit from McKinleyville. And it's just, you know, we're all one county. So it's kind of the way it is. But
now that's a state's mentality, too.
Well, what are you going to do?
Just one big state. Give us your water. Give us, you know, we'll let you keep the trees.
Well, I think we we handle it a little bit better here. And
I'd throw a clinker in there and see how you could play.
Yeah. So,
so McKinleyville has the need for a lot of this stuff, particularly as there's growth going on.
So here's what I'm focused on. McKinleyville, especially, is, you know, it's as big as Arcata, right? But it's not a city. So what kind of services in McKinleyville do we need, since we're not going to be a city, because we're not going to have, you know, the state law would have to change to make us revenue neutral to be able to become a city. So what services in McKinleyville do we need and do we deserve? And those are some of the things that I've been focused on.
So as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are there, you got the library.
Got the library. We have the substation.
You got cops.
We have the fire department. We have Arcata Fire, and then how we started this off.
Pet shelter.
Yeah. In the fire, you know, they've changed their plan around, and they're remodeling the Arcata Fire Station downtown by the plaza, and then they're expanding the McKinleyville Fire Station, and actually they're supposed to break ground in a few months. Sometime this summer is when they're breaking ground on that. They've got the plans done. They've got the money. Everything's dialed in.
Does the community want it?
Yeah. So well, I think sometimes we're going to have a state-of-the-art fire station. All the administrative offices are there, and you know, and that's what I mean by what does McKinleyville need, want, deserve. You know, we're not a city. We're never, you know, unless the state law changes, we're not going to be a city. So how do we get the services in the town that we deserve? And you know, then that goes from, you know, roads to the library,
The schools,
health and human services.
Schools are pretty well. Does the community want a lot of those additional services? Do they want a court? Do they want to have somewhere so they don't have to drive into Eureka for DHHS and some of those types of things?
I think so. Yeah, it's nice having. I have the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee set up, and a lot of this all goes through there now. So they get to be the front and take the community input and kind of vet these things out for me now. And, you know, that's what it's showing. And one of the things we're working on for DHHS is a regional center in McKinleyville that would be a combination of the McKinleyville Family Resource Center and DHHS. And it would be, you know, so people in McKinleyville don't have to drive all the way to Eureka to get services. The bus all the way into Eureka to get services.
Is that number one on the advisory list?
I don't know about number one. I mean, I think jobs and public safety are the two right now that are really, really hot and that we need to focus on and solve first. But these other services are what I'm focused on also. And I'm actually part of the regional planning or the regional center planning. You know, and how do we have one in McKinleyville? How do we have one out in Hoopa, for instance? And all that's moving simultaneously. And
can the county afford to do that?
Hell yeah.
I mean, it sounds like more leases more structures that need to be maintained.
They had a plan to do a big, huge center out here in Eureka. and they call it decentralization. So they've decided to change the model to decentralize it out.
Push it back eventually out.
There's probably going to be one in Fortuna, a big one in Fortuna, a big one in Eureka, and a big one in McKinleyville. And then they'll have satellite ones out from there that have all the same services.
Well, like
that,
the courts used to be.
Yeah.
Before they decided to concentrate everything.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be great. And, you know, they're not going to leave out communities. You know, there was some concern out in, like, the Hoopaw Willow Creek area that, you know, you're going to build the one in McKinleyville and forget about us. But that's, you know, we're making sure that doesn't happen. And they're going to have their own place out there where people can go and get the same services. And they don't have to drive all the way to town to do that.
I believe Pablo Cruz had a song.
What's that?
A Place in the Sun.
Yeah,
I mean, you kind of stumbled there when you were talking about McKinleyville, and they have to come into McKinleyville. We'll have a place in the sun.
Okay.
In Willow Creek. Yeah.
So roads, you know, is something that we also have to look at.
And you're not playing well. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Part Deux, Ryan Sundberg.
Still here.
Yeah, and I didn't even know you were French. Good, the coffee's kicking in.
Yeah.
So when you look back on this re-election campaign, what two or three things really leap out as being the things you're going to remember about this one separate from the first one?
That's a good question. I think what's really going to stick out is I think that it was really clear that this election was about the general plan, about how we grow from here, and the way that the current board has gone through the general plan. That was the main focus of my opponent. But
did it get traction in the community?
I don't think so. I think, first of all, it's one of those things. It's so easily taken out of context. And, I mean, I spent a bunch of time just correcting things that weren't accurate.
In reference to the general plan or the process?
Yeah, and I'll give you an example of one of the first things that came out in our first debate that we had. My opponent said, you know, the guiding principles were changed over a weekend without any public input. And I said, well, the changes were drafted, and then it was like 5 or 6 weeks before we let the public chew on it. And then the board took it back up, and then we changed it based off of that input. And there you go, we have it. So, I mean, saying that it was changed over a weekend with no public input is not even close to true. And it's not a fair representation of what happened. You might not like the language, which is okay. You know, that's fair. But saying that, you know, there was no public input, and then it was interesting. I talked to Supervisor Duffy, and I said, how'd those guiding principles happen in the first place? Just, well, our board had it, and when we did them. I said, no public input. Well, just the public input that people came to our meeting, but we didn't do a town hall or, you know, do meetings on it or anything. And interesting, you know, so they did it, and then our board, you know, did the same thing. So it's not, I don't know. I just didn't think it was there was a bunch of stuff like that came up that I just, you know, it's like easy to take out of context, easy to say that they're taking trails out of the general plan when that's not, you know, wasn't true. There was, you know, just stuff like that I had to keep correcting that, you know, I think people, they just have, you know, they either trust you or they don't. You know, they either trust that, and I've told them, I said, you know, I want to have a careful balance between, you know, the environment and then and building, and I think we've done that. You know, I've studied every single change that we've made, and I feel comfortable with what we've changed. You know, I don't think we're ruining the environment on the changes we've made, but there's people that come up to the microphone and say, you are destroying the environment. You are killing fish when you do this. And I just don't think that's true. I think it's hyped up. And I think the people saw that in this election. And, you know, the whole premise that we were going to have unlimited building and we've gutted the general plan and all this other stuff, it wasn't true. And I think that's why I had such a decisive victory.
So if that's one of the things, innuendo, perhaps. What about on the flip side? What was the positive? What was the exciting part?
I think some of the exciting parts was, you know, just validation of some of the things I've been doing, and I've tried to make a real effort to spend time out in the rural areas, and you know, I think that you know, in hearing back from people and saying, you know, we appreciate, you know, how responsive you are in getting out here, and you know, we want you to come out to a meeting and you show up and participate and then follow up on what you say you're going to do, and those things make you feel good, you know, because it is a lot of work to drive an hour and a half to Orleans, you know, in one way. So and then out to, you know, I spend a lot of time in Willow Creek and Hoopaw and Oreck, and so it's, you know, I tell people they my mom lives in Willow Creek. You know, it's like, well, I kind of have to come back here. I'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you got somewhere to crash, too.
Yeah. So, but it's, I mean, and then, you know, being able to fix problems really quickly by having a huge network of people that I know from living here my whole life, those are the things that are really fun for me. And one of the things I enjoy about this job, and, you know, last weekend was the Old Timers Parade in Orleans, and the person who usually does the permitting for that, for the county, for Caltrans, the sheriff's office, and highway patrol, the person who does all that had a death in the family. And so I got a call, you know, on Tuesday afternoon saying, we don't have anything for this. Can you help us? And I had numbers in my phone and relationships with every single one of them that they needed, and we got it done by Thursday. And you know, having that happen that quickly, I don't think other people could do that. They don't have the contacts, they don't have the relationships, and those things make me feel good. And it's one of the reasons why I really do like this job.
I would think you'd have to like the job just to go through all the rubber chicken.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the times and the stressors.
Yeah. And people ask, they say, you know, they wanted, why do you do this? You know, and it's like it's just like any other job. There's some really great parts to it, and there's some parts you don't like. But when you weigh it all out, the good parts are better, and it's when it's
the opportunity to wear the tuxedo.
Exactly. Yeah. And see you. You probably wouldn't invite me if I wasn't a supervisor. I know you.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Guilty.
Well, no, I'm not particularly guilt-ridden about that at all. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, being reelected, it's, you know, kind of a new experience for you. Are you going to hold yourself to a higher level of accountability, term two? Because you don't have that learning curve, as you were alluding to. You know a lot of the players. A lot of the players know you. You know how... the efficiencies of having an incumbent turn back in. You know the ropes a little bit. So are you expecting more out of yourself this round than you did the first time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you don't have that excuse. And it is a learning curve, you know. And I'm still learning things. It's not like I definitely don't know everything. And there's, you know, ways that you can communicate with people better. And, you know, I've learned that if someone sends you a nasty email, it's not always best to send them a nasty one back because it usually is not very productive. And so there's, you know, there's some learning, and I'm not perfect by any means. But I also know a lot more now after this much time, and it makes me more efficient and know where I need to focus my energy. And I think I have a pretty good pulse of what the community wants, and I, you know, I can focus on that. And
I know one of the things you talked about, I don't know if it was a campaign trail or I guess we could say a trail, the concept of the incubator in McKinleyville, that was something that was going to really kind of be a focus for you for the next little bit.
Yeah, and I've got a meeting set up this week with planning and building and economic development and public works.
Do you
works.
Have to steer that bus?
Well, that's what I need to find out. I need to, you know, this is the first meeting we're having on it. I have this idea, and I think it's a good idea, and now we need to start fleshing it out and see who the players are, you know, how did Arcata do theirs, you know, and I know there's not redevelopment anymore, so there's, you know, there's the landscape has changed, but I think it's a good enough idea, and it's needed. So I'm definitely going to have to steer the bus at the beginning. Hopefully, it's not practical for me to do it the whole time, but hopefully if we can get it started, someone will come up to the surface and say, you know, this is the right entity to take this forward. And, you know,
I was bouncing the concept off of a couple of folks, and a couple of days ago I kind of went click. Our kid has got a food theme. You're talking about a theme of small business. Why not have a series of these with various themes? Woodworkers. You know, everybody talks about how many woodworkers we have in here, and we see the outcome and the value added and all that kind of. Okay, so we got a bunch of guys that are probably doing it in their backyard that don't have the tools that could really benefit them, don't have some of the expertise that could really benefit. But they don't need a full-timer, you know, a shared one. And you can kind of go down the laundry list of a whole bunch of different themes. Graphic artists, they talk about that being around here too. Okay, so, you know, and just kind of continue and develop instead of a specific,
I think that's
maybe
a
template.
Idea. And that's the beauty of the incubators is, you know, the people don't have the money to go buy all the equipment for a commercial kitchen and have the space and all that. So if you just have it on a fractional basis, it's perfect. And the woodworkers or, you know, graphic artists, you know, all that stuff, all the equipment and all the startup for that stuff is so expensive that little one person, two person can't afford it. And so it really holds them back.
Well, and perhaps the expertise also, you know, to have somebody come in. And, okay, if you're going to hire an employee, here are the things that you have to be concerned with. Yeah, they're not going to be thinking about that stuff. But if there's somebody on staff who's kind of like the overall office manager, and they can bring some of these things. You can see how it's just started exploding around me.
I think that's exciting. I think that's a pretty cool idea.
See, now you can even think bigger than big.
I know. I knew there was a reason why I came here.
Yeah. And now there's a reason why you're going to be leaving. Thanks for coming by. Oh, we've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.